So maybe we should start off with introducing ourselves for once.
Why would we start that? It's the great mystery of our podcast. Who are those two and why do they keep talking? And why do they keep eating candy? Well, I'm Ernie Manous.
And I'm Catherine Liu.
And you were just on vacation.
I was.
But you were had like a staycation, didn't you?
I had sort of a textcation.
Okay.
Is that a thing? Okay.
Yeah.
So we did a couple of Texas road trips. San Antonio.
Uh-huh.
My daughter saw the Alamo for the first time.
Oh.
And then we did a few days in Galveston.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Let's drive around, get to see the state you live in a little bit more. Good weather, too, for that. It was warm, but good.
Right. Beautiful days in Galveston. Galveston is very hot.
Yeah.
FYI. Very hot. And San Antonio was pleasantly less hot.
Are you grounded now for the rest of the summer?
I am.
Me too. And I feel good about it. I've been too many places, too quick. Just want to relax.
Yeah, we got to save our energy for
going to the theater,
seeing
shows, hearing music, living that life. This right now in Houston, actually, we have Rent is on tour and it's here in town. And they're calling it the 20th anniversary tour. But I've done some of the math and it doesn't make sense to me because the show was written in 1993 and first produced off-Broadway, on Broadway, and went on tour in 1996.
Oh.
So that does not make any of that a 20. We'll get to the bottom of
You've
that at some
point.
You've
been arts detective.
Arts detective Ernie Manous. I'm going to get new business cards printed. I like that one.
You'll get to the bottom of it for us.
Yeah.
The actual anniversary.
There's a lot of questions in this whole business, a lot of things people ponder and wonder about. But the question we're attacking this week is how is Rent on a 20th anniversary tour? There's the important question. What are you looking at this week?
So I have a segment that combines music and medicine. Have you heard of the World Doctors Orchestra, Ernie?
No.
Yes, this is a global orchestra. I mean, it's made up of doctors from all over the world, of various practices of medicine, and they're all accomplished musicians at the same time. The founder is the conductor, who is also a cardiologist. And we're going to meet a couple of the local members, Dr. Charles Lee and Dr. Grace Lee. They are husband and wife. He's an anesthesiologist. She's a dermatologist. And they're both violinists. And they're going to tell us about how they were able to bring the World Doctors Orchestra to Houston to perform on August 17th, raising money for a local medical organization as well at this concert, and doing a series of a few other events too. So we'll get into all of that and sort of the connection between medicine and music.
Do they travel around in the different places they benefit something local? Or
exactly.
That's great.
So it's a volunteer organization. So they don't get paid. They pay for their own travels to, you know, help the proceeds go toward medical causes.
Well, to ensure that these doctors will have patients in the future, you want to open some candy?
Let's. Nice segue.
You like that one. Remember, at any time, if you want to message us, you can send us an email at uycn@houstonpublicmedia.org. Again, uycn@houstonpublicmedia.org. You ready to start the show?
I am, and I saved you my last Kit Kat.
Oh, I love the Kit Kats. All right, we can get this thing going.
Catherine and Ernie are about to begin the show. Find your seats, silence all chiming devices, locate the nearest exit, and should you wish to partake of any hard candy during the program, please unwrap your candies now.
Doctors Grace and Charlie Lee, thank you so much for joining me in the studio today.
Absolutely.
You're quite welcome.
Making time in your busy schedules.
Thanks for having us.
As doctors and musicians.
Thank you.
Just want to start off very basic. Charlie, if I may, I know you go by Charlie. Mm-hmm. Just tell us, what is the World Doctors Orchestra? You know, what exactly is the sort of the makeup and its mission?
Right. The World Doctors Orchestra was founded back in 2008 by Professor Dr. Stefan Willich. And the mission is to kind of perform outreach concerts throughout the world and raise awareness for medical causes around the world. And I think one of the basic tenets of the orchestra is that healthcare is a human, basic human right. And so that's the premise that the orchestra goes in when we do these concerts.
I think I looked at a breakdown of the countries, and there's like more than 50 countries represented.
Right, that's true. There are, I think, currently probably over 1,000 members from around the world. And we'll do about 3 or 4 concerts a year.
I think just even just this year, you've played concerts in Tel Aviv, in Paris. I've got one coming up in Portugal with a pit stop in Houston for your Houston debut. So, of course, here in Houston, we also have an incredible medical center. We have our own orchestra made of doctors, the Texas Medical Center Orchestra. And I'm just simply curious, is there any affiliation or partnership with the Houston Texas Medical Center Orchestra?
Oh, that's a good question. So actually, both Charlie and I are members of the Texas Medical Center Orchestra, and we have recruited members from that orchestra to join us to play in the World Doctors Orchestra. And initially, how they decided to come to Houston was one of the flautists in the TMCO took the initiative to reach out to Dr. Willich and see if they'd be willing to do a partnership, a collaboration concert. This was 3 years ago, and typically that's how long, on average, it takes about 2 to 3 years planning to bring the group here. And so she took the initiative to do that, and this is sort of what evolved to be that they came. So now we do have members of TMCO playing with us in this orchestra.
You're both violinists?
Yes.
That's correct.
So tell me a little bit about yourself.
You know, it's funny because that's actually how Charlie and I met. Charlie was already an anesthesiologist here in Houston, and I was actually working as a physical therapist at MD Anderson. And I looked up on the internet to find a community orchestra, and there so happened to be, at that time, called the Doctors Orchestra of Houston. And so I joined, and that's where Charlie and I met. And then I got into medical school, decided to move back to Ohio, where I'm from. So I moved there, and then we dated long distance for a while, and eventually decided to get married. God, things worked out that way, I guess. And then he had to move to Ohio to be with me, because that's where I matched for my dermatology residency.
You're a dermatologist.
I'm a dermatologist, yes.
A pediatric.
A pediatric dermatologist, yes.
Right, and I am an anesthesiologist here in private practice here in Houston, and so when we moved to Columbus for Grace's residency, there was not a quote-unquote medical orchestra that, you know, similar to what we have here in Houston. And so we went online. We just happened to see the somehow found out about the WDO online, and we submitted our names and joined the WDO while we were up in Ohio before our move back to Houston.
So I'm curious, what is this phenomenon? Why are there so many doctors that also happen to be musicians? I'm sorry if that sounds like a silly question, but is there some kind of link between music and medicine?
Yeah. You know, I think for me, I grew up, my parents just made me play the violin and piano. But I think also a lot of us grow up in a family that really value music, classical music. And then also, I think becoming a physician, also becoming a musician, they shared this discipline. You have to practice. You have to practice several hours a day to reach where you are at that master level. And so both professions, I think, requires that dedication and persistence. So that's one really neat thing about these medical orchestras. I find that a lot of us, even though we speak different languages and we come from different cultures, we have these two things in common, you know, not just music, but also being a physician. And also just we love patients. I think that's also important. There are a lot of really caring people in the orchestra. So that culture is really neat, you know, when we get together.
There is a lot of interplay, I think, between music and between medicine. I mean, I think it develops both sides of your brain. That's actually interesting that you mentioned that's the topic that the conductor is going to give a talk about during the week of the events here. He'll be giving a lecture describing the interplay between music and medicine.
And that's a good segue into what our solos will be doing, because she is a neuroscientist as well as a really accomplished pianist. So her study is on how our brain is activated by listening to music as well as playing. So she's going to be going into a functional MRI machine and record her own brain activity as she's playing the Rachmaninoff Piano 1.
And that's going to be projected?
Correct. So that video will be recorded, and then those clips will be synced to her playing on Friday when we do this concert at the Methodist Lobby. Yeah. It's phenomenal. And so you can see the difference between the melodic part, how her brain activity changes as she transitions into more the technical part. So you'll be able to see that on Friday.
So you're talking about your piano soloist,
yes,
May Rui, who is a neuroscientist as
yes.
well as a very accomplished concert pianist.
Yes.
Here in Houston.
Here in Houston.
The World Doctors Orchestra, while they're in Houston, is doing a series of events. This free concert Friday, August 16th at 5 p.m. at Methodist Hospital. Also, the Tuesday prior to that, August 13th at noon, conductor Stefan Willich is doing a lecture on the interplay of music and medicine at UT Medical School. And then the week of events will culminate in a concert.
Yes.
At Studi Concert Hall at yes. Rice University, Saturday, August 17th at 7 p.m.
Yes.
And that's a ticketed event, and
yes.
the proceeds will benefit a local medical organization.
Yes, World Doctors Orchestra, we support medical charities all around the world. So every year we pick different charities to give our proceeds to. So that way at the end of the fiscal year, their financial balance will be zero. Mm-hmm. And so our goal is to give all that money away. And one of the charities we picked to give to here in Houston is called A Children's House for the Soul. And they'll definitely be receiving funding from our concert proceeds.
From the proceeds,
yeah.
Right.
How did you pick that organization? Does the orchestra, or is there some kind of committee that looks at each city where you're playing and find the issues that matter to that community?
Yeah, so as local organizers, Charlie and I, we get to pick a charity to donate to. And I'm a pediatric dermatologist, so that's near and dear to my heart. And Dr. Lana Bree is one of my colleagues. She used to work at Texas Children's as a pediatric dermatologist, but now she started this nonprofit to help kids with skin diseases to deal with psychosocial issues that might arise. As you can imagine, it's something that people can see, and they deal with that a lot on a daily basis. So she provides activities and events for these kids to go to and for the families to get together, almost like a support group for the parents who are taking care of these kids. And so she offers these as free events to them.
So a concert for a great cause and also great music. Go through the program. What are you playing on this Houston concert?
Yeah, so Dr. Willich wanted to pick a piece by an American composer since we're doing it here in the U.S. So he picked Copland, an outdoor overture. And then we selected a local musician. She's brilliant. She can play all the three Rachmaninoff concertos. So Dr. Willich picked one that's less played because he wanted to showcase that piece.
Right, number one.
Number
Everybody
one.
Plays number two.
Two and three.
Number three is
right.
sort of infamous.
Right.
And so she's going to do number one.
She's going to do number one. Number one, yeah. It's very technically challenging.
In the Brahms Symphony okay. number three.
So this will be the Houston debut for the World Doctors Orchestra. Why was it important to you to bring the orchestra to Houston?
The Texas Medical Center houses 20 plus hospitals, I just learned, with thousands of physicians concentrated in this area. So I know a lot of the European physicians and also others around the world, they're really interested in coming to visit Houston for that reason and using this as an opportunity to come. For a week so they can visit Methodist when we're there. Oftentimes when we go to a city, they usually plan a tour of one of the local hospitals, and usually there's only one. But here they have a choice of 20. So okay. that's really neat.
And I think it gives us a chance to showcase not only just the medical center, but our great city. And especially, you know, this year with the 50th anniversary of the lunar landing, I think it's sort of it's just a good combination, you know.
And we'll be taking them to NASA on Sunday for a trip.
For a field trip.
For a field trip.
What kind of impact have you seen in your years of playing in the orchestra? You've played in the orchestra for how many years? In the World Doctors Orchestra, that is?
Probably, I would have to guess, about 4 to 5 years now,
yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What kind of impact have you seen this organization make?
I think in terms of providing funding for charities, I think that's the main goal. of the orchestra. You know, they've donated funds to charities in other parts of the world that may not have access to healthcare. For example, like South Africa, there was a concert in South Africa a few years ago, and they were able to donate to the charity there. And so hopefully, you know, by doing that, I think it will enable more people to have access to healthcare.
And also just even in advertising this concert, I know a lot of just my friends said, I'd never even heard of this organization or this music group. And some of them don't normally go to classical music concerts. So I think it's also neat to bring awareness to classical music, too, right. Not just the medical aspect. And so I think that's a really neat thing, because I know arts sometimes has been struggling in some cities to bring funding to our local professional orchestras even.
I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's an interesting point, because you're not only, as an orchestra of doctors, bringing awareness to health issues and also raising money for health causes, but I feel like you are kind of, whether indirectly or directly, advocating for the way music can benefit our lives and our health. I mean, if a group of doctors are up there playing music, it can't be bad for you.
So, yeah, right.
I feel like it's in its own way kind of advocating for music
to
enriching
heal.
Our lives, yes. Or maybe some kind of healing side to it.
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And also just to meet people from different countries and have opportunity to visit major concert halls around the world, and also diplomats from those countries, because we are serving as ambassadors and sort of bringing world peace, and to show them that we can work together, people from different countries too. You know, we sort of live in a really challenging times right now, and just in Paris, we were guests at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and just felt like, wow, like they really welcome us. And then when we were in Barbados, same thing, we went to the home of their prime minister. And then for this concert, we also have a letter of welcome from Mayor Sylvester Turner. We will be putting that in our program, welcoming our guests there. So this collaboration and also welcoming of like international guests is really neat on this smaller scale.
Well, thank you so much for bringing these issues and also the World Doctors Orchestra to Houston, Dr. Grace Lee, Dr. Charles Lee. And thank you for coming in to share some of your stories and, sort of insight.
Oh, yeah, it is our pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting us.
And that was husband and wife, doctors and musicians, Charles Lee and Grace Lee. They're both violinists in the World Doctors Orchestra. They happen to be members of our local Texas Medical Center Orchestra as well, and part of the organizing committee that is bringing the World Doctors Orchestra to Houston. They're doing a series of events. I'm going to go through them real quick here. On Tuesday, August 13th at noon at UT Medical School, the conductor, Stephen Willich, is doing a lecture on the interplay of music and medicine. Friday, August 16th at 5 p.m. at Methodist Hospital, they are performing a free concert at the hospital, a little pared-down version of the full concert. And then the biggie, Saturday, August 17th at 7 p.m. at Rice University's Studi Concert Hall, a full concert with the World Doctors Orchestra, members coming here from all over the world, and raising money for a local medical organization called A Children's House for the Soul. We're actually listening to a little bit of music recorded from a concert they did in Japan a few years ago. Give you a little taste of their artistry. And you can get tickets and find out more information about the orchestra at world-doctors-orchestra.org. So, yeah, fascinating group and with a lot of heart.
And a great endeavor to go out and do that and share their talents. And, you know, I'm a strong believer, if you have creativity in you, you have to find a way to get it out. And if one thing doesn't work, another will, and you find it. And so these folks that are steeped in the science and exactness probably need that creative outlet, too, and it helps balance.
A great marriage of that and a great sort of almost symbol of Houston in a way. It's so appropriate right. that they've come to Houston, a great city of the arts and a great city of the sciences.
And something else that's come to Houston is here right now through August 11th is Rent. So if you're not in Houston, guess what? This tour is just kind of starting out here. And so it'll be coming to a city near you very soon. So keep an eye out for it. Rent, its 20th anniversary tour. We're going to check into that in a minute. But I just wanted to let you know, we're about to meet the gentlemen who play Mark and Roger, the two male leads of the show. It is Cody Jenkins and Coleman Cummings, and this is our conversation. Jonathan Larson's Rent is back on stage in Houston for its 20th anniversary tour.
525,600 minutes, 525,000 moments so deep, 525,600 minutes, how do you measure a year?
Joining me in the studio is Cody Jenkins, who plays Mark, and Coleman Cummings, who plays Roger. So, okay, help me out with the tour name. This show is billed as the 20th anniversary tour, but the show started and was written in 1993, debuted off and on Broadway in 1996, the same year as the first tour. So, who wants to help me with this?
I can take it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Worklight Productions, who took this tour... Well, there's also other production companies, but Worklight is our production company that holds this tour now. And it's just been it's the 20th anniversary. That was the launch, but it's been basically essentially that this tour has never stopped. But there's new casts. So this is the 24th anniversary, and this would be like the fourth cast of the 20th anniversary tour.
Okay, I think I got it. So it's the 20th anniversary tour, but it's been on the road for 4 years. So put that together. 24 years ago it started, but this is the 20th anniversary tour. Good. Okay. So for those who don't know, Rent basically tells the story of a group of friends living a bohemian life in mid-90s New York City, and the AIDS crisis is going on. And it seems like a very heavy set period piece that might not resonate today, but you still feel the themes of the show still work.
And like the main message of the story, like no day but today, is like always going to be relevant to like continue to live life like you're gonna die.
God, this moment's not the last. There's only us. There's only this. Forget regret. Our life is yours to miss. No other road. No other way. No.
This story came out like during the huge AIDS epidemic, and that may not be as huge of a epidemic today. It's like there's still other things that are also like just as relevant.
Yeah, Cody, do you find that the audience remembers or understands what was happening 20 years ago, or are they coming to this story fresh? And so you guys are in the position of not just telling the story, but making them understand.
Absolutely. There's a lot of people. I mean, the show's so well known. A lot of people have seen it. We'll get people that even last night said, I saw the show 23 years ago. I saw Anthony and Adam on Broadway. And that's crazy
Anthony
to me.
Anthony Pascal.
And Adam Pascal, yes, to
Who
clarify.
Who originated the roles that you guys are
of now. Mark and Roger, yeah, that's what we do now. So yeah, filling those shoes is pretty wild. But to tell this story to people, whether they've seen it or not seen it, I think it's kind of impossible for them to not be changed coming to see the show.
Will I lose my dignity? Will someone care?
I just think that the show's too powerful. I think that the music's too wonderful. The story's too strong. You can't walk away and not have something change you. This show, it's very high energy. I wouldn't say that it's like in your face, because we have to invite the audience to come listen to the world and to the story we're telling. It's not really a spectacle like big 42nd Street, we're tapping for you and it's, you're going to love us. It's more like we're living our life and you get to like look through the peephole of our door. You know, you get the privacy that most people won't have in that personal life. And so with all those things happening and going on, I think once the audience, it might take them a while, but once they kind of sit and realize and they start listening to the story, it kind of just pulls you in.
I should tell you I'm disaster. I forget how to begin it. Let's just make this part go faster. I have yet to be in it.
I still cry watching the show. Just because it's so wonderful. It's, I don't know what it was like to be in my 20s and, you know, the turn of the century. Like, literally living in that time and all of those things going on. I have no idea what it's like, but I have similarities to growing up in New York. Or, you know, losing people to illness. Or losing people really close to you unexpectedly. Or your tight group of friends all of a sudden explodes. And then you're like, wait, what do I do? So there's a lot of stuff that I think it's just so raw. It's so human. It's so just what everyone experiences. And it's just one glimpse. It's just one window. And for people that this might be something that's so like obscure and out there, and there's a lot of things talked about in the show that might make people feel uncomfortable. But it's kind of what we embrace. Yeah. Like, we want to do that because it's the uncomfortable stuff that pushes and makes change.
Is it hard to make sure you don't get swept away in the emotion when you're playing the roles on stage? Or is it so many times you do it night after night after night after night that that's an easy separation to make? And if it be, I'm going to make this even harder. And if it becomes too easy a separation, are you then not fully in the character? How do you balance all that?
That's a really good question.
I think the show is written very well, and that if you give yourself up to the story, like, the emotion will come, and like, if you just like live in the moment with your character, like, I think it's kind of easy to stay in the moment and listen and live that life. And then when the show's over, like, it's over.
Yeah. And I just want to remind everyone I am talking with, Coleman Cummings, who plays Roger in the Rent 20th anniversary tour, and Cody Jenkins, who plays Mark.
I think a lot of it comes from training. I know for me, it was training. I am an emotional person in my day-to-day life. Like, I wear my heart on my sleeve. It was something that for me, through training just in general for theater, it was tough. And that was like learning not to go too far, because it's not you. You're not having to go to a dark place, and that's not who Cody is. That's who the character is. And it's finding a balance, which is hard. But like Coleman said, the show lends itself. As long as you listen, like, you really just listen to what someone's saying to you on stage. Like, simply, I don't know, there's so many moments in the show that there's things that are written, like conversations, like a fight that happens between Roger and Mark, between the two of us. There are things that are so simple. It's so simple. It's something that I could just say to you that would strike a deep chord in you and I wouldn't know it. But it's something so simple that you just listened and you listen and you listen, and like, it just kind of happens for you. I think that if you try to keep your head inside of like more of like the technical side of things, if you're trying to think about all your technicalities, then you're going to do yourself and the show a disservice and the audience, because you just want to make sure you're telling as much of a true story as you can. So for the emotion, you kind of, part of the rehearsal process is like refining, knowing where the emotion comes, how strong and too much and little, and you know, it's well crafted so that you're picking those pinpoints throughout the arc of the show that are really drawing people in. It's something that we have to stay aware of, to not let ourselves get too emotionally in. We work with each other. I was a part of last year's tour for 7 months, and I, through everything, like, we're always just loving each other. I mean, the show teaches you that, but we have to. Like, you have to love each other in the show and be there for each other.
So then how does either of yours performance change if you're not playing against the other one? If, like, somebody taps out and somebody else comes in, do you feel a difference in your performance, or have you gotten it to where this is just what you're going to give?
I definitely think it'll be different.
Yeah, I think it changes. Because, like I said, it's like an energy and a listening thing.
And each person will bring something different to the character, because they bring part of themselves to the character, and you're going to have to listen and respond to that in a different way.
Do you think the show's going to go for another 20 years?
Oh, yeah.
Why is it a modern day classic, do you think? What put it into this pantheon?
I think people can still enjoy all this music is something that's great. Like, I will always go back to the music because mm-hmm. I still listen to this music and hear things that I haven't heard. Or I'll hear it and I might have heard it before, but I'll forgotten about it. Because there's so many little intricacies in the music. You can pick out a small moment of a song and be like, I've heard that song. That's a song from the 80s. Like, it just, because, you know, like, art is recycled. Everyone gets inspired by someone else. So I think that the show's going to run as long as somebody wants to put the money into the show to produce the show and to keep it up and let it run. I literally think that people all across the world will come see it.
Do you think, either of you, that having the television production helps or hurts the tour? Does it feel like, and I wonder this every time I see these big productions on TV, do people feel like, I've seen it, I don't need to go to the theater? Or is it, I saw it, I can't wait to see it? What do you guys feel out in the field?
That's a really good question, actually. I was doing the show, doing the tour when Rent Live was out. Like, we had a show the same night that it was. So that was a really weird experience.
Yeah.
But I don't really.
And you guys were actually live that night.
Yeah, we were actually live that night. No, but it's. I mean, I think that it helps. I mean, I think it would be weird to say that it doesn't help because it's still.
Exposure.
Like, yeah, the show's still getting exposure. People still see it. And if they see it in a whole new way, in a whole new production, and like a new take and new costumes and new everything, that's really cool. That. Even people that saw Broadway, you know, hadn't seen that production, right. Which is cool. They got to do a whole new take on it. Some people might really enjoy it and some might not, but that's the same for our show. People might come see the stage version and totally love it, and some people might not. But
it's
funny
how different experiences, especially I think of this when I saw Steel Magnolias, the film, as opposed to the stage show of it, because you're free to look wherever you want. You're free to invest where you want as opposed to where the film director tells you to go.
Right, exactly.
So if you've seen Rent as a film, it's a different experience experiencing it live.
I agree completely. Yeah, and I remember seeing the film, the recorded film from back. Yeah. And and that's a thing too that you get to see on stage just in our opening number and Rent. When you see the movie, it's really focused on these main characters. You know, it really follows Mark and Roger until you start to see Collins and then you find Benny. But in the stage production, like, you don't get all of those, like, this is who this character is in the first 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, it takes a little while. But you also, while on stage, you get to see people, like, climbing over our guitar player. And you're like, that's really cool. And you're, like, not even paying attention to Mark and Roger, which is awesome. Like, we don't mind because that's our team, you know. And, like, everyone's working hard. So that's why it's really cool that you get to see stuff that you probably wouldn't find. And, like, hear, like I said, in the music and, like, in the show itself, by seeing the stage. Like you just mentioned, like, you can look on one side of the stage and stay there for 5 minutes and you get a whole story.
Yeah.
You know, that's inside of one. It's one story inside of many.
And if people want to see that story, it's Rent, the 20th anniversary tour, currently resting here in Houston for a few days. It's here through August 11th. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Talking with Cody Jenkins, who plays Mark, and Coleman Cummings, who plays Roger. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you very much for having us.
No game.
That was Cody Jenkins and Coleman Cummings starring in Rent's 20th anniversary tour. And we finally straightened that whole 20th thing out. Speaking of amounts, you know, a lot of people worry that tickets to the theater are too much. Since the very beginning of Rent, they have always made the seats in the front two rows available at a discounted price. And on this tour, they're carrying on that tradition of just $25 tickets are available in person for purchase at the Hobby Center the day of the performance, 2 hours prior to the show. And that will continue on the tour. So whatever city you might catch them in, remember, 2 hours before the show, if you happen to be in front of the theater and have $25 in cash on you, maybe you can score a ticket. It was an idea from the very beginning to make this show affordable to people so people could see it, and they're continuing that on. Of course, nowadays you can see the movie, you can see the live television broadcast of it, or you can see it on tour. So that wraps it up. That's the end of this week.
Cool.
We got through another episode. Yay. And we got a fun one coming next week. I'm not going to say too much.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to
take you back.
You have
to
a secret.
80s.
Yes.
Ooh, I'm very excited. But you have to download that episode to find out what all that is. But until then, remember, you can send us your thoughts, comments, questions at UYCN@HoustonPublicMedia.org. That stands for Unwrap Your Candies Now. You can also join us on social media and the World Wide Web, #UYCN. Tell us what you think and share your thoughts, comments. Follow me, Ernie on TV, or Catherine at
HPM Catherine on Twitter.
Follow either of us. And that's what I got.
And, you know, we're getting closer. I don't want to give too much away, but we are also getting closer to the annual Houston Theater District open house. And we may have some news about that to share. I do know that I will have some kind of preview to offer you next week.
You know what else I might like hinting at? The fact that we may be leaving the realm of simply a podcast and heading into the world of also being a radio show. You know what? I would download next week's podcast to find out more about all of that. And until then, I'm Ernie Manous.
And I'm Catherine Liu.
Thanks for joining us.